I didn't tell my poor dad I wasn't being paid. He would not have understood, and I did not want to try to explain something that I did not yet understand myself. For 3 more weeks, Mike and I worked for 3 hours every Saturday for nothing. The work didn't bother me, and the routine got easier. It was the missed baseball games and not being able to afford to buy a few comic books that got to me. Rich Dad stopped by at noon on the 3rd week. We heard his truck pull up in the parking lot and sputter when the engine was turned off. He entered the store and greeted Mrs. Martin with a hug. After finding out how things were going in the store, he reached into the ice cream freezer, pulled out 2 bars, paid for them, and signaled to Mike and me, "Let's go for a walk, boys." We crossed the street, dodging a few cars, and walked across a large grassy field where a few adults were playing softball. Sitting down at a remote picnic table, he handed Mike and me the ice cream bars. "How's it going, boys?" "Okay," Mike said. I nodded in agreement. "Learn anything yet?" Rich Dad asked. Mike and I looked at each other, shrugged our shoulders, and shook our heads in unison. "Well, you boys had better start thinking. You're staring at one of life's biggest lessons. If you learn the lesson, you'll enjoy a life of great freedom and security. If you don't learn the lesson, you'll wind up like Mrs. Martin and most of the people playing softball in this park. They work very hard for a little money, clinging to the illusion of job security, looking forward to a 3-week vacation each year and a skimpy pension after 45 years of work. Now, if that excites you, I'll give you a raise to 25 cents an hour." "But these are good, hard-working people. Are you making fun of them?" I demanded. A smile came over Rich Dad's face. "Mrs. Martin's like a mother to me, and I would never be that cruel. I may sound cruel because I'm doing my best to point something out to the two of you. I want to expand your point of view so you can see something, something most people never have the benefit of seeing because their vision is too narrow. Most people never see the trap they're in." Mike and I sat there uncertain of his message. He sounded cruel, yet we could sense he was desperately wanting us to know something. With a smile, Rich Dad said, "Doesn't that 25 cents an hour sound good? Doesn't that make your heart beat a little faster?" I shook my head no, but it really did. 25 cents an hour would be big bucks to me. "Okay, I'll pay you $1 an hour, Rich Dad said with a sly grin. Now my heart was beginning to race. My brain was screaming, "Take it, take it." I could not believe what I was hearing. Still, I said nothing. "Okay, $2 an hour. My little 9-year-old brain and heart nearly exploded. After all, it was 1956, and being paid $2 an hour would have made me the richest kid in the world. I couldn't imagine earning that kind of money. I wanted to say yes, but somehow my mouth stayed silent. Maybe my brain had overheated and blown a fuse, but deep down, I badly wanted that $2 an hour. The ice cream had melted and was running down my hand. Rich Dad was looking at 2 boys staring back at him, eyes wide open and brains empty. He knew that he was testing us, and he knew there was part of our emotions that wanted to take the deal. "Okay," he said, $5 an hour. Suddenly there was a silence from inside me. Something had changed. The offer was too big and had gotten ridiculous. Not too many grown-ups in 1956 made more than $5 an hour. The temptation disappeared and a calm set in. Slowly I turned to my left to look at Mike. He looked back at me. The part of my soul that was weak and needy was silenced. The part of me that had no price took over. There was a calm and a certainty about money that entered my brain and my soul. I knew Mike had gotten to that point also. "Good," Rich Dad said softly. "Most people have a price. And they have a price because of human emotions named fear and greed. First, the fear of being without money motivates us to work hard. And then once we get that paycheck, greed or desire starts us thinking about all the wonderful things money can buy. The pattern is then set." "What pattern?" I asked. "The pattern of get up, go to work, pay bills, get up, go to work, pay bills. Their lives are then run forever by 2 emotions, fear and greed. Offer them more money, and they continue the cycle by also increasing their spending. This is what I call the rat race." There is another way? Mike asked. Yes, said Rich Dad slowly. But only a few people find it. And what is that way? Mike asked. That's what I hope you boys will find out as you work and study with me. That is why I took away all forms of pay. Any hints? Mike asked. We're kind of tired of working hard, especially for nothing. Well, the first step is telling the truth, said Rich Dad. We haven't been lying, I said. I did not say you were lying. I said to tell the truth, Rich Dad came back. The truth about what? I asked. How you're feeling, Rich Dad said. You don't have to say it to anyone else, just yourself. You mean the people in this park, the people who work for you, Mrs. Martin, they don't do that? I asked. I doubt it, Rich Dad said. Instead, they feel the fear of not having money. Instead of confronting the fear, they react instead of think. They react emotionally instead of using their heads, Rich Dad said, tapping us on our heads. Then they get a few bucks in their hands, and again the emotion of joy and desire and greed take over. And again they react instead of think. So their emotions do their thinking, Mike said. That's correct, said Rich Dad. Money is running their lives, and they refuse to tell the truth about that. Money is in control of their emotions, and hence their souls. Rich Dad sat quietly, letting his words sink in.